But when you cover up, when the powers to be at the CDC have a data burning party, and you cover up that fact for 20 years.
Welcome back to Grow America Outlawed. We're going to be chatting with Judy Mikovits a little bit later, PhD. We get into all sorts of fun stuff with Judy. Definitely some COVID stuff.
Scientism, corruption.
Yeah. A lot of vaccine stuff.
Yeah.
Tainted blood.
Masks.
Masks. Starts out with some masks. Yeah. A ton of stuff. It's a great chat with Judy. We highly recommend it. Highly recommend the last half. I mean, mind blowing stuff. It's amazing the world we live in. Too bad. Speaking of the world we live in, we're going to get kicked off of YouTube. So we've decided we've moved the videos from the live streams over to Rockfin already because we live stream the free show. So what we're probably going to do is just take the live stream. Well, we aren't probably going to do it. We are going to do it. Our next live stream will be on Rockfin. It'll be free. It's in the free section. Of course, we also do some premium content over there, but this will be in the free section. So anyone can go over there. You can watch the free show for live on Rockfin for free, just like you would on YouTube. It's got a chat just like it does on YouTube. It's got a tip feature just like the super chat, except it's not YouTube and we're not getting censored and we're not getting kicked off. And we're going to try it out. We're going to go over there, and Rockfin allows us to post the videos there, like the Judy Mikovits for live stream videos posted there, because YouTube would just ban it just like they do everything else, Judy. So we put it on Rockfin. So we're going to try the live streaming there. So if you guys want to check that out, it's rockfin.com/creator/Grimerica. And that's where the live streams will be for this show, at least moving forward. And if you want to see any of the video stuff, that's where that lives.
Yeah, there'll be some other stuff on there, some premium content as well. We're doing a ancient civilization and lost, ancient mysteries and lost civilization with a bunch of different guests like Randall Carlson and Gary Wayne, and we're doing some stuff on Tartaria and all kinds of interesting topics like that. That'll be more visual, more video. So you can head over there for that too.
So you guys can check that stuff out. Yeah. We do got the chats if you want to check that out, grimerica.ca/chats. If you want to get in there and talk to some people about all sorts of different stuff, we got the social network. If you want to pop in there and talk to some like-minded people, grimerica.ca/social.
Swag.
We got swag. We got swag that fits both shows. A ton of cool like 9/11 shirts and anti-COVID shirts and COVID 1984 shirts. Get all that stuff, grimerica.ca/swag. We got a whole line of masks. If you're stuck someplace where you got a stupid mask mandate and you got to wear a mask, you might as well wear a cool mask. grimerica.ca/masks. That's about all of our like marketing, internal marketing.
Yep.
Should check out Judy's books. Didn't you say a couple of them are coming out in audio?
Yep, there's a couple coming out in audio.
Everyone's doing the audiobook thing these days.
Yeah.
Good thing we got out in front of that.
Yeah, well, tell people about the page. There's a page, an audiobook page.
Adult Brain. Actually, that all dates back to a Grimerica episode way back in the day where the Flat Earth guy told me to use my adult brain because I couldn't understand. The problem was that when a helicopter took off, it could go straight up and come straight down, and the earth didn't spin away. And the fact that I argued this mean I wasn't using my adult brain. So we spun that into Adult Brain Productions.
Audiobooks.
Which is our audiobook branch of things. So if you're into audiobooks, if you got some audible credits kicking around.
Or if you got some suggestions that you'd like us to read, maybe we can do that. And if you know any authors that are looking for narration and production,
send them our way.
Yeah.
We do have a fantastic chat with Judy here. We hope you guys enjoy it. We appreciate her taking 2 hours out of her day to come on the show, do this for us. We appreciate all of her hard work and her efforts and her just getting hell every step of the way. We don't give her too much hell in Grimerica. So enjoy the chat with the fabulous Judy Mikovits.
All right, we got a special one tonight. We've got Dr. Judy Mikovits with us. She's probably the most censored scientist in 2020, or maybe even before that. I mean, her story is quite amazing. And there's a couple books that we might talk about as well, The Plague of Corruption and The Case Against the Masks. And, of course, Plandemic 2 is out. And Plandemic 1 was one of the big reasons why she got so censored after it went viral. So thanks for, you know, talking about this again, Judy. I know you've been talking about it a lot, but thanks for joining us. And hopefully we can tease out some unique stuff from you tonight.
Yeah, well, I'm delighted to be back. And it seems like every day there's more to this pandemic and plague of corruption than any of us could ever imagine. So every day seems like something new to me.
It does. I know. That's why at the beginning I was saying it feels like, like you said, it's fun to talk about this stuff because you're so knowledgeable about it all, and we're involved in this from a, you know, from a media perspective. But it's serious. Every day there's new stuff, or there's new you know, crazy things from the government coming down, and new mask mandates and all this stuff. And I'm like, how does it keep getting worse? And then I watched Plandemic 2 recently, and I really like the way Plandemic 2 showed more than just this COVID. It showed some, you know, stuff with Bill and Melinda Gates and the stuff they're involved in, and a lot of the history there. And it really started showing the big picture, which makes me think that there is an agenda here. It seems like they're not just bumbling along, even though sometimes it seems like they're bumbling along because you get different messages from the official data compared to what your local media is telling you. It's just crazy making. And yet it really makes me think when they're not looking at one, when they're blindly, they're willfully blind to one side of the science. Thank God there's people like you to explain the other side. And maybe we can sort of tease out a little bit of what the plan is, because it really does feel like there's a plan because they're ignoring a whole bunch of stuff.
Right. That, I mean, not only ignoring it, willful ignorance is the way to put it. It's one thing when you're ignorant that you refuse to look at the data, or you've refused to look at another side of the story. But willful ignorance of censoring us, yeah, of censoring our book, The Case Against the Mask, 10 Reasons Why Mask Use Should Be Limited. Yeah. We didn't say never wear a mask. Right. We said wear the right personal protective equipment for the right situation. And that in this situation, certainly none of the masks that are being recommended, not only do they not work, which is pretty clear because I guess a couple of weeks ago, now all of a sudden, oops, folk, there's still a problem. Let's all wear two masks. So let's wear the blue paper mask that's sprayed with toxic fluoride, Teflon reagents, PTFE, And let's use that cotton mask that collects all that bacteria on top of it. So you're breathing in fiber filters and you're obstructing your breath. And now we'll just have that layer of moisture of those droplets in between the two, growing all kinds of lovely bacteria, mycoplasma, mold, fungi. If you live here at the ocean, you can get almost anything in the fog air. So, I mean, but and people go out and they wear that. And people go out and I've seen them with them on, and people are fearful. Well, now they say we have to wear two. And the amazing thing to me is that nobody says, or you don't see a large body of people saying, okay, I've been duped, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. They just blindly go along like sheeple and mask themselves up and make themselves sick. You know, while the band played on, I used to say,
yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I wanted to ask you about the mask thing specifically, but I thought, you know, usually, I mean, you know, you've done so many of these shows and all, I thought maybe your bio, instead of going into your background story now at the beginning, I'm sure it'll come out a little bit naturally as we go along. And the mask thing is very important to me because, you see, it's such a visual reminder of what's happening. And I feel like that's really why they want us masked. They want everybody in constant fear, just constant visual reminders of this. And I just read an article, I narrated an article for this feed from a Dr. Rancourt in Ontario, who got his paper censored, showing basically what your book showed as well. All the scientific studies that show that masks don't do the job, they don't stop the viruses. And he was censored off of ResearchGate. I mean, they basically gave him a bullshit excuse, and he did this whole article on it. And that was back in the summer, probably around the same time as your book came out. So has your opinion changed at all on masks, though, at all since your book? Or is it just even more profound, the stuff that you showed in your book? Well, it's been a while now. And now it's getting so much worse. It's ramping up. I mean, I didn't think, like you said, people are allowing it to happen. People are just going along with it, even though the cases are still up. Mask mandates here in Calgary, August 1st, cases going up. It's done nothing. And people don't seem to even want to look at it.
Yeah, and it's made people sick. So what our opinion, certainly the science hasn't changed, as you just mentioned, just that it's reinforced. Know that these things don't prevent the spread of viruses. In fact, they make people sick by all the reasons we discussed of, you know, if global warming is real, then why would we breathe our own toxic CO2 and create global warming in our bodies, which is essentially what you're doing, as you starve your tissues of oxygen, which is the very thing you need to stop this particular virus from causing the way it causes diseases by, you know, depriving you of oxygen, your tissues of oxygen and energy, and you attack your own tissues through hyperinflammation. So instead of throwing gasoline on the fire with the mask, why not take them all off? But what we have done very intensely over the last 3 months that our book has been so heavily censored that nobody can really learn the truth. So it's very heavily censored. No one will sell it. We did find it at Books a Million the other day, and we could buy more than one copy, which is a key if I'm going around talking at places trying to hand out books to students. And it's only $5 or $6, so it's easy to hand it out in front of the grocery store as a public service. What we've actually spent a lot of times doing is reminding ourselves that certain people in the population are vulnerable, like cancer patients, like AIDS patients, like people with COPD and other primary and acquired immune deficiencies or dysfunction. For them, the mask is super dangerous and can and has killed them. Killed a dear friend of mine on October 13th of 2020 from the mask, cardiac arrest from the mask, the paper mask. And what we had done and been doing is going to people who make copper and silver masks, primarily silver masks, because silver is highly antimicrobial and antiviral as well. So the good news that wasn't true about any other mask is you can touch it, you can put it in your pocket. Any mycoplasma, mold, or bacteria is right there, trapped, bound forever to the silver or the copper. You can even wear a dual mask. The company has one that's silver on the inside and copper on the outside, because copper can be irritating. So the most antimicrobial is on the outside, protecting along with the viral. So even if you breathe out viruses because you're compromised, because you've activated latent viruses, you're not breathing back in and making yourself sick, and they aren't impeding your airflow. Right. They're masks, so you can have airflow and you can see through them. So we've been actually working hard to let people know, okay, hey, if you want to wear a mask, if you feel, you know, as they are doing, making it mandatory, which we hate anything about it, but you know, the simple hard reality is certain people must go to work and they are forced to wear these things, or their children a child with autism or a seizure disorder can die from the mask, because just a little bit of lack of oxygen can enhance that seizure disorder, even while they sleep without a mask on at a later time. So that's our focus, is to get people aware there are solutions, and those aren't the solutions that are being offered, because then you will see the disease go away. You won't see the case numbers go up, because people won't be testing positive, because they simply won't be activating their latent coronaviruses, influenza viruses, respiratory syncytial viruses, HIVs, XMRVs, HDLVs, or anything else. XYZ virus, you simply will be healthy and keep your immune system healthy.
It really hit me the other day. I kind of had an epiphany because one of my friends is insulation for a living. So he wears a mask all day long at work, like just like a drywaller would, that type of thing. And he's a health conscious guy. He's kind of a biohacker, and he feels like for him it's okay. It's not that healthy. But I saw a couple of people the other day talking loudly in their masks, of course. And I think it's one thing to have, like, I don't think it's a fair comparison to say people can work all day in a mask when they're in an environment where they take it off on their breaks and they're just stopping physical dust or something from going in there, or the majority of it at least, but they're not spewing their voice, like their wet, moist voice into this thing. And it's just trapping this bunch of gunk there, and then they're breathing that in constantly. Like, it's different when you're in an environment where you shouldn't be protecting yourself, and you're just speaking and having to shout so people can hear you into this trap. Is there a way for you to clean these copper and silver masks afterwards as well? Like, you say that sort of helps trap the—
You can lightly wash them, but it's bound forever. You don't have to clean them.
Right, okay.
So silver. The copper will oxidize a little bit, but that's how you know it's doing its job, because it's that which it literally degrades the virus. But, I'm still a no mask. I'll put one of those in my pocket if I have to get on a plane, which I have to do because I won't let them censor me. And I do have pleurisy. I do have a lung disease. Pleurisy is just fluid in the lungs. And so you have more CO2 trapped in that fluid, just as you trap it in that mask. And therefore you're more at risk of having infections and chronic.
Right.
So I'm almost always coughing. So even just putting it anywhere near my face will make me cough. So I don't do it. But at any rate, I thought it was pretty funny to your point of you, people can't hear you, and when you're hearing impaired, it's a real problem. But after the Super Bowl game, Tom Brady, when he's being interviewed, is like, I can't hear you. I have the slightest idea what you're saying. And you could see there was no mask anywhere near Tom, because he's smarter than that about his own health. So it was really great.
Mind Gigi, I don't know who you are. Someone will people will come up to me and they'll start talking to me, especially at work, because I'm interacting with so many people in the day, and I don't know who they are. They've got the mask on and they're talking to me like I know who they are. And I've got to be like, I don't know who you are. Yeah. And they're like, pull the thing down, and I'll be like, oh, okay. Hi.
Right.
So
we all do that a little bit more, and really just, point out the ridiculousness. Okay, Tony, now how dumb do you really think we are? You know, that's when you have to decide it's will for ignorance. Because we had to dumb down the case against the mask because it was clear from the government, Tony Fauci, Deborah Birx, Robert Redfield's response to Plague of Corruption, that they couldn't understand sixth grade science. So the case against the mask is really second grade science. And we made it for the 9 or 10 year old to, and I'll actually be teaching that in a homeschool setting next week near San Diego with the book.
Where do you get the copper and silver masks? Before I forget to ask you,
there's a company called TRU47.com, and if you type a promotion code DRJ15TRU, you'll get 15% off.
Okay, perfect, got it. That's a great idea. We were talking to a
Why don't you chop up your Faro bag.
Yeah, we got bags, Faraday bags for our phones and stuff too, from a guy that makes silver. Actually, he's even got shirts and hats and stuff too for them.
Yeah. And she's got scarves and things like that. So it's actually, that's a great point. It's great against 5G.
Yeah.
So you can wrap it around your neck and you're protecting your thyroid and things like that. That I have a beautiful, she sent me a few for free to try out last week. And I just love the long silver scarf. It's beautiful. So I like to wear scarves because of my obstructive airway. I will keep my neck warm so I can keep talking.
Right. Do you think that the mask thing has been stumbled along, or do you think they planned it to get this bad? I mean,
it's very clear they planned it, because right back in March, Tony Fauci's like, no, don't wear a mask, or February even. Those don't work, and we need to save those for healthcare settings where they really need them, because they are at risk of catching things from immune compromised people. You protect the patient who's immune compromised, you know, from being spit in. That's why surgeons wear masks when they do surgery, and people don't realize they pump the oxygen into the surgical chamber, into the operating room. You know, it's not normal atmospheric oxygen that you'll deplete in only two breaths. So it's absolutely planned. Again, more of the plandemic. Oh, if we can get them to wear that first mask, and now we say they have to wear that second mask, even after 6-8 months, whatever. Now we can push this inoculation that has no resemblance whatsoever to vaccine. And they'll be so fearful. They'll be so happy to get back to some kind of normal life if only they take that shot, that they won't even ask if that shot does anything other than hurt you, or has, you know, did you do anything about all of the animals died in the early trials decades ago with the original SARS and MERS vaccine development? No, we're just the experimental animals. So if people are that dumb to put on the mask and wear it all along, and then they think somehow, you know, they're doing good, or that everyone gets back to normal if everyone gets the shot, that's where it is clearly part of a plandemic, a plague of corruption. The let's get everybody so fearful and control them so much they'll never go back to normal life.
Yeah, it seems like it. The thing I noticed is people started to think that the mask grants immunity. As long as you're wearing your mask, it's okay. And then if they get it, there's all this shame, and they're thinking, what am I? What did I do something wrong? I mean, I've been wearing the mask, I've been staying away from people, and I still got it. I mean, it's making people crazy.
Yeah, well, it's making people sick. There's no question about that. And that's what we said in our book. That's what the study said. Our book is only a reporting of the literature of the last 50 years. I mean, I've said it before. I've worked in a biosafety level 3, and they're at Fort Detrick's biosafety level 4, famous for sending Wu flu to Wuhan and in the 90s, and never in the biosafety level 3 with HIV, with all kinds of deadly viruses in there. Never does the staff wear a mask. You have HEPA filter in the filters in the air to remove bacteria. You have negative pressure. You have a biosafety cabinet where there's a glass in front of you, but you don't wear a mask because you don't make yourself sick. You don't compromise your immune system, because then you'll be more susceptible to catching it. So that's what the people are realizing. They've done the experiment. So what happens if I wear a mask? I catch COVID-19. I catch SARS-CoV-2. So the conclusion is, don't wear the mask. And like me, and like millions of others around the world, the thousands that meet each weekend at our church in Thousand Oaks, Godspeak Church, that place is full, neck to neck, arm to arm. Nobody's, very few, might be one person in a mask in the entire place. And nobody's ever been sick. And it's been fully open since May, 3 services every Sunday. Every night there's something going on. Nobody's sick. Nobody tests positive. Well, because of course, we're not stupid enough to test either. When the test is 97% false positive, why would you ask for them to tell you you're sick when you know you're not?
Yeah, it's difficult though. They're starting to force people to test in hospitals here in Canada. So it's getting harder and harder to stay away from this PCR test.
Yeah, well, I'm going to continue. We've been telling everybody, don't go near the hospital.
Yeah,
if you go near the hospital, you won't get sick and you certainly won't die. You won't be traced. So we're getting back to good old-fashioned medicine. A little bone broth, chicken soup, vitamin C. And that's healthcare.
Some sunlight. So, in sunlight.
Yeah, I was out at the pool today.
I definitely, well, I mean, Alberta keeps moving the goalposts. I set up four, I liked it because they gave us some clear things. I mean, obviously I don't agree with any of it. I think the whole thing's bullshit. And I mean, I'm not saying I don't think COVID's real, but I don't think that freedom is worth it. And that I don't think that's part of the deal, that we just, you know, a flu came around, even if it was a bad flu. I mean, if it's bad enough that I want to stay home, well, then it's a bad thing. I'm going to stay home and I'm going to do my part. But I mean, the cat's out of the bag in a lot of ways. I do want to get into some of the Fauci stuff, but I think I want to save that for a little bit later. And some of the AIDS stuff, but I think most people have probably been through it, but I mean, when I try to avoid everything COVID. My point on Alberta moving the goalposts is they gave us some clear lines. They're like, okay, 450, you can have restaurants again. Or no, it's like, if 450, no, it was 600, you can have restaurants again.
And this is hospitalizations per...
out of 4 million people in the province. So when you get down to 600 hospitalizations, you can have restaurants. Then when you get down to 450, you can have blah, blah, blah. 300 is this, and 150 is basically game on. I mean,
tell everybody not to go to the hospitals and we can all open up again.
Exactly. So now we're down to like 360 people in the hospital out of 4 million. And nothing. Radio silence on the, we've gone well past the 450 milestone now. And the interesting thing to me is that it used to be about ICUs. We're talking about 50 people in the entire province in ICU. And it's just, I don't know. They just keep.
Well, now it's going to be about cases. Once this doesn't work and we get through this goalpost, it'll be about cases.
No, the cases are way down too. The cases are going down by hundreds a day because people have stopped getting tested. I really think that's what it is people have stopped. So I did want to say, because when I kind of seen the Plandemic documentary flying around, I didn't get a chance to watch it because it disappeared so quickly.
And I do all the watching anyway.
He does the watching anyway. He's the watcher. I do the work. And when we went on Union of the Unwanted, that was sort of my first real interaction with you for sure. And I was sort of getting up to speed with the whole Plandemic thing. I mean, I know the Advent 201 stuff and everything else, but I was just wondering if you could just sort of give us a quick synopsis of what that first Plandemic sort of, how you got where you are today. Cause it's not just about masks. Masks are just one small portion of,
right.
I mean, masks, if anything, I would say masks are an add-on to what you're actually bringing to the table.
Oh, right. They weren't even on our radar screen in our book, Plague of Corruption. But
which happened to be, was that 2019?
2020. We wrote it in 2019.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it was actually supposed to be published. We finished it, I'd say, somewhere around end of April, May, 2019. And it should have been published and out November 5th of 2019. And Bobby Kennedy Jr., who wrote the fabulous foreword, was not finished. And one day I sent him an email or text. I'd never remember. And I basically said to him, Bobby, how can I help? Just very quickly, how can I help? And he said, Judy, there's just something missing. This is such a fabulously intelligent guy. And I said, Bobby, I know you're busy. I said, just read the last chapter. Because the last chapter of the book was supposed to end with a chapter called The Way Forward. And this was things like using cannabis and natural product therapies. You know, I'm a natural products chemist by training. And that's what I really want to do is just get back to healing with plants and energy therapies and things like that.
Nice.
And forget all of this nightmare that was, you know, the academic jobs and everything that we're in. Just go back to real healing. And so one of my friends read the book at the end of, I'd say at the end of May, right around May. And she said, oh, Judy, you can't publish this like that. And I'm basically ignoring it. And because it's already, you know, it takes a lot when you're writing a book. Once you get through all the edits and the typesetting, you really can't change it. But, I said, well, why not? And she said, well, it doesn't have a dead man's trigger. And I said, well, what's that? Because I'm a bit naive, as you know. And she said, it's where the guy puts on the vest and has the dynamite and he's the only one to switch and the timer can't be inactivated and the whole world blows up if they try to hurt you or my colleagues. And so I thought about it for a little while and she said, this is going to get you killed. Or more importantly, my mentor, Dr. Rossetti. And so, cause I've already been killed. It doesn't matter. I have 9 lives. So I thought about it for a little while and I called up Kent and I said, okay, Kent, maybe there's one last story I should tell you. And that's the name of the last chapter. There's one last thing I should tell you. And I go through it's 3 or 4 pages long. So this is all I said to Bobby in that email that day. And he said, okay. And a couple of days later, he called me and we're in the car just driving in front of LAX, as I recall. And he said, oh my God, congratulations. And he said, I read the entire book on the plane yesterday. And I said, well, don't congratulate me. Congratulate Kent. He wrote it. And Bobby literally hung up. And 5 seconds later, Kent called me and said, oh, I read the whole book and he loves it. And literally a week later, I got this amazing foreword that required very little edit, except not really understanding the early days of my career, which is, you know, when I got my PhD, I worked for a decade as a lab technician because, you know, I wasn't buying into that whole PhD bullshit. And I really didn't want to go back to graduate school, but at any rate, so this was, it was an amazing, forward. It was like 34 pages long, almost a third of it, like a book itself. And it just talked about, and I did not know he'd been working on lawsuits on racketeering and conspiracy type of lawsuits to cover up all the injuries of vaccines and how many scientists over the decades who tried to alert the public. Wow. And we had at least one chapter about scientists who died, Dr. Jeff Bradstreet, Dr. Timothy Cunningham and things like that, who tried to tell people, you know, these shots were deadly or heal the injured. So what do you have now in COVID-19? So the book was delayed until April 14th. But I had sent it to a colleague at the NIH for the very reason that after my friend said that it might hurt Dr. Rossetti, I just sent it to a dear old friend of both of ours, a scientist, and said, would you take a look at this? And I won't use his name. And he answered in maybe 24 hours and said, well, congratulations on having another book, but this wasn't this man. Somebody else wrote that email. Somebody else at NIH intercepted this book. And there's one very clear way. And I guess I should say his name because his name is Jost, J-O-O-S-T. And in the 40 years that Dr. Rossetti and I have known him, or 38 years that Dr. Rossetti and I have known him, I've never seen him sign his name anything other than J-O or J-J. So this email was signed J-O-E. And that just the writing of this, I knew this wasn't that man. I knew the government intercepted this manuscript in August. And while I can't prove it, Mickey Willis makes a really good film because he was supposed to make a video, a promotional video of the book. And this was just part one of Plandemic, which came out May 4th of 2020. And it was pretty much just me recanting my whole career of how this plague of corruption had started as these people in power, Tony Fauci, Bob Gallo, the whole government basically killed innocent Black people with MMR vaccines, and the gays, the IV drug users, and the prostitutes with HIV. Through the HBV, the hepatitis B vaccine program. You don't vaccinate and drive an infection through a body by compromising the immunity. We know that flu shots drove COVID-19 because they don't give you viral interference. They actually promote the acquisition. They make you sick so that you're more likely to catch another kind of infection that is in your environment. So long story short, that was plandemic number one. And I had recanted or told the story to Mickey about when we were scientists going to scientific HIV AIDS meetings in the 80s, late 80s and 90s, and how the protesters, the group ACT UP, used to come there with this banner that said silence equals death. And that's where I told him, that's where I really feel that it took us a long time to tell that last part of the story, because you couldn't not cry when you thought about how I was unwittingly a part of this, because I would think when I saw that sign, silence equals death, and I'm 25 years old, and I would think, well, I'm working 24/7 in my arrogant way and to try and heal you because of your bad behavior, because of your frequenting bathhouse, your poppers, your gay-related immune deficiency. I'm working 24/7, and you're throwing things at me and saying scientists are murderers. And here, 30 years later, with the plague of corruption, and again, we made that film before there was a COVID-19. So the plandemic was the word and is still the word. And it was just it was just amazing. So Mickey went back and tried to interviewed me and took on the criticism, which basically had nothing to do with a word I said. Nobody could prove a word I said was wrong. And in fact, I talked to, you know, Dr. Rossetti, who was upset about it. And I said, Frank, did I say anything wrong? He said, no. After long thought, he said, I just wish you hadn't said it. So silence equals death. Wow. And that. So Mickey went on to, you know, a real God thing to people told him after seeing part one of Plandemic, you've got to meet Dr. David Martin.
Yeah.
Star of part two, which Indoctrination, which was just brilliant. And the team there at Elevate feels indoctrination, because that's where we are. Now our doctors are the Gestapo kidnapping our parents and putting them away and forcing respirators down their throats and murdering them, or forcing them in masks and murdering them. And now you're going to force our children, as you just mentioned, your passport, your ticket on your arm, you can't go anywhere or do anything. No, they're not mandated, but you don't have a life if you don't get that shot. You don't have a life if you don't wear that mask. You have people treating you ugly. You can't go buy groceries. You can't drive somewhere. If you don't get that shot. It's more than we could have ever predicted. But interestingly enough, if your audience goes to freedomplatform.tv and then /Willis on August 19th of 2020, and then freedomplatform.tv /Martin on or about September 16th of 2020, you'll see interviews with Brian Rose, in-depth interviews, which will just blow your mind to understand these two guys in more than 20 years, where their walks of life, which otherwise would have never crossed paths with mine, and they knew, and they put on that brilliant film that was indoctrination. So it was just the interview with Mickey Willis, made me cry. Just it was hard to watch. It's like, wow, because we all think about it. So what is real? What is reality? Well,
and that played a huge part in Brian Rose waking up, right, to this. I mean, there's a few of these mainstream kind of yet still independent content creators or interview people. I mean, they're that triggered a whole series of events of a whole bunch of people waking up.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and Brian Rose is fabulous. He started the freedomplatform.tv. And so he interviewed, you know, Rashid Buttar, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, just dozens of people. And if you go to plandemicseries.com, I think you can still see that independent website and go down the rabbit hole. And there literally is a rabbit hole. And when you go down the rabbit hole, you see every single interview of me, of anybody that participated in part one and two in its entirety. And it's really tough to watch, but well worth it, as we all recall, because I think the only way, you know, to end, you know, our last book, hopefully our upcoming book being published in a couple of months, is called Ending Plague, A Scholar's Obligation in an Age of Corruption. So what is a scholar's? What are these physicians, these scientists, these educators, these lawyers? What's their obligation? You know, well, the first obligation is not to remain ignorant and to, you know, in my opinion, to speak the truth in love. But if you don't know history, you're bound to repeat it. And that's where we know that the 1918 Spanish flu wasn't influenza that killed the millions of people. It was the masks and a failed contaminated flu vaccine, contaminated with bacteria, and then keeping people sick. And of course, the war and spread through the military, where they have tight quarters, and then they're in those dirty bunkers fighting, you know, out in the cold. And so what do we do in plandemic? We don't eat in the clean restaurant, in the warm AA rated restaurant with heat. We eat in the parking lot with the dirt and the feces in a tent in the winter. I mean, we might as well just mimic the situation in 1918. And interestingly, I was educated as to a book written by John M. Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, and it's called The Great Influenza. And when you read it, it will blow your mind. It was a New York Times bestseller a couple of decades ago. I happened to have it on my bookshelf, and it looked like I bought it at a used bookstore. I don't know when I bought it. I certainly know it wasn't recently. And so I opened it up, and you would see things like cytokine storm, or the troops were vaccinated to prevent them from getting sick, but then a couple of them got sick from the vaccine. And they sent them out anyway. And then they were under stress, of course, if you're shooting and in a war, that stress, which is immune suppressive and drives the whole thing. So the stress of losing our jobs, the stress of the whole situation, of the anger, of the fear, of the destruction of our economies and our freedoms, you know, can drive the same thing as a war.
Yep. Great point. So then that pandemic, I mean, it went viral. It got censored pretty quick right away. Yeah. Like this was around the time when I seem to remember being around the time when those two doctors got heavily censored as well, that were against the lockdowns, and they're saying that this is going to make people more sick.
Oh, yeah, they were doing those videos all the time from California, right?
Yeah, and they got millions of views, and they got censored. I mean, that was kind of like the big start of opening up our eyes to, wow, this is how far they're going to go to censor this. Like, it was still surprising to me, even though we've been sort of against the media and pushing back against the mainstream for so long, but to see it actually happen. And now RFK has been censored off of Instagram recently. Like, now they're still continuing down that path of censorship. You know, you can't even talk about vitamin D on YouTube. I mean, it's getting that bad. I did have a question about, so keeping that censorship acceleration in mind, that the scientist you talked about that said, I just wish you didn't say anything, has he come around at all in like the last 8 months?
Well, he's my mentor of 37 years. I started working for him on D-Day, June 6, 1983. And more than come around. He is the lead author on the book Ending Plague.
Wow.
It was his title. He didn't want to say Ending Plague because where he hasn't come around is he's a cynic. As he tells me, a cynic is a romantic that's been hurt by life. So he's ever the cynic. So he doesn't believe we can ever end these plagues. But it was his title, A Scholar's Obligation in an Age of Corruption. So we're almost finished with that book. He's coming around to tell the truth in a way that, you know, he's 78 years old and in that, and Tony Fauci and company, they're all 80s. You know, see, I'm 62 or 63. So I was the kid that everybody could ignore and a woman at that. So the misogyny was alive and well. But, you know, it's different from two generations. You know, he's a very different generation. So he's writing that last book. We're writing that last book. We'll finish it with the solutions, which is so yes, he's come around. The wish he didn't say it was that, of course, his family is all in the business. And so they're attacked. So we were forced to close our company, which we did, and in order not to bring any heat down on his family. And I usually just don't even use his name
anymore.
Is he going to do any interviews?
He won't promote the book. He signed the contract last year, and he said, "I will not promote it." And so I don't know that he'll do this.
If he changes his mind, you let us know. I got to ask, how does it feel to be one of the most censored people of 2020? Like, when that's coming out and COVID's starting, you got to be thinking, like, in your head, are you thinking you've got the, we're helping, you know, we're going to get this word out. And it's, you know, like, how can you take us through how it feels going from going viral to being sort of stomped out everywhere?
Well, I was stunned by the response to the movie, first of all, because we had written our first book, Plague, and it came out in 2014. And we thought there were three possibilities, you know, a little sprinkling of something, you know, something like Plandemic or Dead Silence. And so, in my opinion, Plague was the more scientific, exposed more stuff, and we got Dead Silence. So I'd been censored, and ever since I'd been jailed November 18th of 2011, see, I lost all my constitutional rights for refusing to compromise the truth, for refusing to recant, for refusing to say the blood supply wasn't contaminated with animal viruses, the vaccines weren't contaminated with animal viruses that were causing injury and spreading infection and disease through our world. It's the vaccine spreading the disease. It's the blood supply contamination spreading the disease, and has been for 40 years. And that's what our data showed. And that's what I wouldn't recant. So for me, it wasn't Dead Silence with the censorship. What I was surprised is that we almost seemed to catch them off guard. You know, they erased me in 2011. They erased me from the journals. They erased me from the scientific websites. I can't go to libraries. I had been NIH grant funded or funded in some way my whole life. And it was as if I didn't exist. I went into a meeting with a doctor friend who said in 2014, because I was held under what I call a virtual gag order, because if I wrote anyone an email or spoke to anyone, I've never been on Facebook, did any blog, any social media, spoke in text, phone, or anything to anyone other than my lawyers or my family, they would come back in my house, take the computers, take the phone, take everything out, put me back in jail, and I'd never get out again. Wow. And at the time in 2014, my lawyer said, you know, don't do it because they'll find new evidence. And I said, oh, don't be ridiculous. There is no new evidence. And he looked at me coldly and he said, there was no evidence the first time, was there? And so You know, I obeyed and I've been, you know, I was virtually jailed and locked down and isolated from my colleagues. So that statute of limitations of when I supposedly committed the crimes, that there never was a warrant or anything to for reason of why or due process hearing trial, never nothing. That's pretty much the first book. This was 2014. And he said, come on, Judy, let's just go to the meeting. And we went to a scientific conference at Stanford University. And that was horrific. People looked through me as if I were dead. Wow. So come back, you know, something like It's a Wonderful Life or the movie with Jay. I was there and I'm like, oh, and I'm going to speak to my colleagues. And it's like, they look right through me as if I was dead, as if I was Typhoid Mary. So I appreciate how the rest of the world is being treated right now. But no, for me, Plandemic 1-2, no matter how harsh the censorship is, that is waking up more people. And it's been a long decade, I guarantee you, of that. That, I mean, that was a horrific feeling. It's like, oh my God, as if you never existed. That kind of power in the courts. And it wasn't just one court, the attorney generals, the FBI. That was the last chapter of Plague of Corruption. The thing I forgot to tell them is we saved every bit of the data. And we handed it to the FBI in May of 2014, to the attorney generals, to the world, a terabyte hard drive, which they signed a receipt for. We had a 5-hour meeting in my attorney, my criminal attorney, David Folan, office in Ventura. He was in the movie. He's the silver-haired attorney that said there was no arrest warrant. I was never arrested for anything. So we sat there in 2014, 4 years later, or 3 years later, with the FBI agent, taped every word of it and handed it to the attorney generals, the FBI, everyone, everybody in at every level of justice should have done something. And they kept it under seal until November, till October of 2019. It was kept under seal. I couldn't even say I had a case, whistleblower case against anybody, and still don't. They dropped it after I gave the talk at Truth About Cancer to October 13th, 2019 at the Truth About Cancer Anaheim meeting, Anaheim live event. I gave a talk entitled Persecution and Cover-Up at Ty and Charlene Bollinger's request, a very painful talk where you can see how the fraudulent, corrupt, fake news, scientific journals, Science, Nature, the very journals who are right now publishing fraud just as fast as you can to say these shots are vaccines, which they're not, to force everybody into believing anything they want. So no, I think right now, and you know, and people ask me if I'm afraid, and you know, I haven't really been afraid since November 9th, 2011. And that was the first chapter of our book, Plague of Corruption, after Bobby's foreword. It's the chapter is called Scientist at Sea. And they surrounded my house in the middle of the night. And that's the night, like 4 a.m. That's the day that saved my good fortune of having a 13-foot Boston whaler and a full moon and a very low tide. We escaped on a boat when they surrounded our house. So that was 10 days before I was arrested. So our book Plague started with the arrest because we didn't understand what was going on November 9th. Earlier, we didn't understand how much trouble I was, you know, in, and how much they wanted me dead. Like they hunted and killed Timothy Cunningham. It's all in the book, Plague of Corruption.
What is the charge? What was the charge?
There was no charge, ever formal charge, but the basis for the arrest was I was called a felony fugitive from justice. And at the NIH, when I was trying to conduct the replication studies in 2012 and all the way through 2016 was the last time I checked, the NIH police or had that, you know, I was not allowed on any NIH campus for any reason because I was a felony fugitive from justice. Well, you can't be a fugitive from justice if you don't even have a parking ticket. So in that slideshow, which I'll provide to you, I'll email you here tonight. You can see the article in the journal Science where it said there was no warrant. There were no federal agencies. And as you remember from the criticism of the May 4th, the first part of plandemic, it was, oh, nobody's arrested in this country without a charge. Oh, she's lying. Oh, we put that to bed a long time ago. So they really thought they erased me, you know, for good. And so the fun is really the last chapter. And when they captured our book there in August of 2019, oh my God, we thought we got everything. We thought we had the perfect crime. And it's like, no, God has a sense of humor and God wins. And so we have everything. And it's a big gotcha because we have all the data. And you have to ask yourself, why are they cremating everybody? Why aren't they doing the autopsies? Why aren't they sequencing the PCR products in the test? Where, as Professor Dolores Cahill said, they'll come up with influenza A and B. They won't come up with SARS-CoV-2. You know, why? You know, why are they covering this all up? Because they're going to say it's just like the 1918 Spanish flu and bury it forever.
That's in some weird sort of weird way that experience must have prepared you for the contemporary smear job that happened. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's of course, when it went viral and in the summer there, you know, you're getting smeared left, right and center. And I guess that's, you know, you probably built up a bit of a thick skin after all the other stuff you went through.
Yeah, I didn't even look at it. Now, I was raised by a mother who said, I don't care what anybody else think. You'll do what I say.
Yeah. Who do you think? Okay. Who do you think was pulling the levers? Do you think it's the blood or the vaccines? Because, oh, sorry, just correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that you were arrested basically because you wouldn't shut the fuck up about either tainted blood or vaccines.
Right.
Do you think it was both or one or the other?
I think it was both. I think it was Tony Fauci, the heads of the NIH, together with Harry Reid, who was then the Senate Majority Leader. So the Senate Majority Leader is in charge of Health and Human Services. So Harry committed a few crimes along with my boss, Harvey Whittemore, who was actually convicted of some of those election fraud crimes back in 2012 or so. And so, yes, I think Tony Fauci went to them all and said, hey, have I got a deal for you? They got their grants. They got their funding. So as Bobby Kennedy said, in we did a show a couple of weeks ago with Rocco Galati, Sasha Stone. It's called lineinthesand.us. David Martin, me and Bobby Kennedy, and we talked about Tony Fauci. I have no doubt Tony Fauci is pulling the trigger, and you can follow the money right back to the University of Nevada, the Whittemores, that they got the money and they continue to get it to this day, and the person who blesses it. Now, with, as I said in that show, plausible deniability, no, I never sent her an email. Oh, yeah, we got the email, Tony. We got the email, Tony, buddy. So, you know, he just doesn't think anybody, they just don't think this stupid woman the fact of the matter is I have a photographic memory, and I think only surpassed by Dr. Rossetti's photographic memory and Dr. Rossetti's inability to ever delete an email or anything else. I have absolutely no doubt at the head of all of this is that the triumvirate up there, who controls, who's controlling COVID. And I'm sure Bill Gates lent a little money and a little, and the, all the federal agencies, the attorney generals. I mean, how did they get away with the election fraud? How did they get away with not prosecuting anybody for these crimes against humanity, not prosecuting Cuomo for murdering innocent people in nursing homes, or on and on and on, as they're doing once again? You know, how does that happen if you have a Justice Department that has anything to do with justice? And we know we don't. We know we have a bought and paid for pharmaceutical industry paid government. That's, I guess, all you can really say.
And media.
Yeah, well, Fauci just seems to have that smugness about him that, you know, just sort of jump from one thing to the next thing, like he's untouchable. Like, oh yeah, two masks is common sense. It's like a little virus obstacle course in there.
But the hard part to wrap my head around, I don't know if this is a good time for the question or not, but getting to speculating on intention of people and how far down this corruption goes, because what's astounding to me is you can see it at that level, the Gates and the Faucis and the Justice Department and all the people that are really paid off. But it's all these local officials that just go along and just read what's put in front of them. Like the people in Ontario there got busted. I just read what's put in front of me, all this paperwork. And they're just talking heads for the health department, telling everybody what the new rules are. So how far down does this corruption go? Like, it, how can they all be, are they just ignorant, like you said, and not willfully blind? And the people are willfully blind at a certain level? I mean,
yeah, I think Mickey did a good job of that. There are a lot of good people in science and in all of these positions, and they get you over here with this hand and they say, don't watch this glove, watch this glove. And at some level, they started by accepting a little lie. And at some point, then they're the one that goes to jail, or they're the one that loses their job, or they're the one who, has unwittingly or wittingly murdered dozens of people by their actions, and the damage that these teachers will do to the children in their classes. So I think fear is a big part of it. They're afraid. I mean, I'm not going to pretend losing everything, being hunted like an animal for a decade. The humiliation, the feeling like you're a piece of dirt, you know, moving 10 times in 10 years because you got to pick up and leave another place, or you had to sell this or sell that or lose everything because you could never get another job. I'm not going to pretend that's, you know, fun. But I don't, you know, I don't have kids. I can't even tell you what my opinion would be if I had children. Yeah. And this is the problem with Dr. Rossetti and others. They have a family. At one point, one of these scientists who I know very well said to me before the first book came out, when they didn't want their name used in the first book. And they said to me, Judy, I earned my retirement. You know, and I looked at them and I said, so did I. Yeah. You know, so did I. And this is the thing. People don't, what's the point? How do you fight, Goliath? Nobody can ever beat Fauci. I think I'm just going to put my head down, put my salary in my pocket. William Thompson's a great example. The CDC so-called whistleblower, Dr. William Thompson, who for 20 years put the data in his safe that said MMR was associated with the development of autism and severe neurological disorders in little black boys. If they were given the vaccine before they were 3 years old, the black boys were 2 to 4 times more likely than white boys. And the white boys association was still high. But when you cover up, when the powers to be at the CDC have a data burning party, and you cover up that fact for 20 years while one hero of mine, Dr. Brian Hooker, actually dogged the CDC and William Thompson with FOIAs, Freedom of Information Ask Requests. For 15 years, finally in 2014, Thompson confesses on tape. That's why we wrote the second book. I knew nothing of William Thompson. I thought it was all the blood supply. I knew nothing until August 31st of 2014 when I met Brian Hooker and he showed a page from William Thompson's notebooks that said in William Thompson's handwriting, what are we going to do about the problems with the blacks?
Wow.
And it's Jesus. Like, oh, no. And so I called Ken Tech and Lively and said, Ken, honey, we have to write another book. And so that is The Plague of Corruption.
Man, yeah. If you have anyone else, too, and you come back, if you ever write any more books or anything like that, anytime you need a message that you need to get out, you shoot us an email and we'll have you on the show. That goes for any of your colleagues or anyone else who you think we should have on the show. We'd love to have Andy on the show. I don't know if you have
on the show.
Yeah, if you have any contact info for him.
He's got a new movie out called The Act.
Oh, there you go.
1986theact.com.
Yeah, if you don't mind emailing both of us, I've been trying to get a hold of Andy for years and years. Vaccines have been, pretty close to us. We first had John Rappaport on the regular Grimerica show back in like 2014, and it was because my kids aren't vaccinated, and I remember at that time the amount of pushback we got and the amount of like, before we even did the show, we were like, is this a good idea? And I mean, now
it's changed. It's changed a lot.
We're pushing some scale. I mean, not us personally, but the anti-vax crowd, for lack of a better term, seems to be pushing the scales.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. Well, I'll write Andy tonight or tomorrow first thing and send you those slides I promised. And his new movie, The Act, 1986theact.com, you can find it, talks all about the corruption in that vaccine injury compensation program known as Vaccine Court, which is not a court at all, but one of the worst things I've ever experienced. You know, of all the things I experienced between 2011 and 14, Vaccine Court 15 through 19 was just, I would just come home and cry and drink. It was very bad.
Wow.
Yeah, I bet. Well, we wish you the best, Judy. Thank you for your work and have
Thank
a lovely
you.
Night.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Lovely to see you. Bye. Thank you.
Wow, big thanks to Judy for coming on our first half of this Grimerica OLOT episode. Fantastic chat. She's so knowledgeable. I can tell she's got that memory, right?
She can just go. It's these people that can just go and go and go and just like dates, like actual like dates. This day, this person said this.
This
you know,
study, our, this chemical, this every, I mean, it's unbelievable.
This paper.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
We can't help but thank Judy for coming on the show and blowing us away with some knowledge. Absolutely floors us. In the second half, she floors us even more. She finishes getting into her beef with Fauci a little bit.
Oh, yeah. She gets a little political. Talks about Harry Reid. And, oh, man, it's interesting to hear about him because I always thought of him as the guy that's trying for UFO disclosure, but now he's getting involved in all this stuff, right? And then RFK, she gets into that as well. And blood, contaminated blood or vaccines. They ask her about those. And then, of course, William Thompson, the whistleblower that put data in the safe, and the CDC had a burning party. Brian Hooker got dogged with the FOIA in 2014, and he's got this confession on tape. And then she gets into like the stuff that we talk about in No Agenda, like the aerosolized Ebola and Zika and sort of the farce that was, you know, was Obama involved in all those. So she gets into the Clintons and the Obamas and Fauci just being, you know, these long-term politicians involved in all this shit. Also, why are people getting cremated? And the flu shot problem, Andy Wakefield.
Oh, yeah, she emailed. She hooked us up with Andy. So she synced us in. Hopefully we'll get Andy on the show here real soon.
Yeah, she's great, yeah. Talks about the genocide of the poor Hispanics, the blacks, and the Jewish. And then, of course, we get into long COVID and ivermectin and talk about some of the solutions, which is fantastic.
Did you figure out how you're going to eat the ivermectin yet? How you're going
to? No, I don't. I give it to somebody else that needs it. I don't need it right now.
What if you just put a little on your finger?
Yeah, and it,
stick it right up your butt.
There you go. That's the quickest way to get it going.
Is that a thing?
No, I mean you probably want it in your throat. No, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Your butt would you might need less. It would get there quicker.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, helps out with the hemorrhoids at the same time.
Don't you just need like a tiny bit of vodka in there to like get all wasted? I heard.
Yeah, I think so.
See. This is it.
And then we get into, of course, Ending Plague, her new book that's going to be coming out hopefully in a few months, and the vaccine schedule and the strains of HIV and, you know, ways to boost our immune system. All good stuff. Fantastic second half as well.
Yeah. And, of course, if you guys want to get into that second half stuff, all you have to do is head over to grimerica.outlaw.ca. Right at the top of the page is a plus button. You hit that, sign up. You can sign up for 6 months for like $36. You do an annual for $72, or you can do a monthly for $6.39 a month. Sign up. Everything's automatic from there. If you have any trouble, there's a support button right there. You hit that, and we'll get back to you right away.
So the main thing is they want to when they donate, they got to click on the RSS.
It takes you to the page. It'll tell you how to do all that.
Yeah. And then that's what you put in your podcast player.
There's videos
player, yeah.
there. There's everything.
But like, it's a new feed that you put in your podcast player, and it'll give you a second outlawed feed in your podcast player.
No, you won't have a second feed. You'll just have one feed.
I have two.
Why? Well, you shouldn't.
Really?
There's no reason to have the original one if you have Plus.
Well, it's still there, though.
We should just delete it. It's just a waste.
But it still gives you a second feed. You can, if you don't delete your first one, it's still
then
there.
Then you'll just have two.
I know, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Has better audio quality.
Yeah. And then what about Patreon audio? For Patreon people?
Patreon's fine. It just takes a little longer.
It's a manual process, right?
If you go through the website, it'll happen instantly. If you go through Patreon, you have to wait till I get to my email, which might be a day.
Okay, yeah.
Might be a day, a day and a half.
We try to jump on all this stuff, but the manual stuff still takes a bit of time.
Yeah, it's not an instant process. Best to go through the website. There's PayPal, there's Stripe. Of course, if you can't work out that, we can do it manually. So figure it out. Give us a call, give us a text, give us an email. We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
AmericaOutlawed.ca. Check it out. And then get that second half. Whether you got the second half or not, we hope you enjoyed the chat the last couple episodes. Next week, we already got John Sneezing coming out. And we got Legal Man coming up after that. We got them lined up. It's going to be a fantastic spring. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
Teach me all your secrets to get a good handle on a better way to live. How does one get out of bed every day in the throes of the apocalypse? Should I bury my head in the sand or sabotage their evil plan? I feel really trapped. An ant burned by a magnifying glass. It's all a little bit too convenient. All the evidence went up in flames. Phonies, fraudster, scammers belong in the slammer. My friend, best give up their names. Should I call on militia men or pass out a petition pen? I feel really trapped. An ant burned by a magnifying glass. I don't know what y'all been told, but I got a soul made out of gold. Sound off, 1, 2, sound off, 3, 4, cadence count, 1, 2.
A big ball!
Some time ago, a crazy dream came to me. I dreamt I was walking into World War III. As prophetic! Floats it down the river in the dark. As prophetic as deja vu, as wormwood, as falling stars above. Sophia wrote it down, built an ark. Now she floats it down the river in the dark. I can't even hear my own thoughts for the life of me over the din of a bruised and broken culture. The media spins and splatters and spins and clatters, and I cringe because it's psychological warfare. Don't you feel yourself getting really mad? How did we let it get this bad? Don't you feel really trapped like a brain in a vat?
hard to close Pandora's box, but sirens are singing me off a cliff. I'm looking to hitchhike to Shangri-La over yonder. Sophia, would you give me a lift? Hopped out of the Hegelian rebellion. Say goodbye to all you Machiavellians. Let evil destroy itself. I'm bound for Shangri-La. Shangri-La. I'll let you be in my dream if I could be in yours. I'll let you be in my dream if I could be in yours. As prophetic as morning doves, as groundhogs, as fallen stars above. Sophia wrote it down, built an ark, now we're floating it down a river dark. As prophetic. A plane, now we're taking flight above a river bright. La 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 Shangri-La.